Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Going into the end of the year, I just was really before the Lord today and really couldn't get focused. I just felt God's heart for us to be able to do that, to like let the past behind and to move forward, to step out into new territory, to break through old habits and old mindsets, to release our true identity, the things that the enemy has wanted to squish, you know, hold back and stifle in us. God wants to let it out. He wants us to walk in freedom, in victory. He wants us to have clarity moving forward. He doesn't want us to be bound in chains. Colossians 2 talks about Jesus came and he defeated the schemes of the enemy. He nailed it to the cross. You know, Satan has no authority over the Christian. He can still try and persecute us or cause us to like bring temptation or doubt and fear, those things. But we have victory over that. We have power to say no to that, right? We can tell him no, and we need to learn how to tell him no. We need to stand up and say, no, that's not who I am. I am crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the strength of God in you needs to get stronger. So I'm just going to share with you tonight out of my, I guess it's a journal. I scribble. I can't hardly read it myself. So we're going to see how this works. But I don't have good penmanship because I write fast. I can't keep up with my head. So, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you some of my thoughts that he's like where I am. When I think about you, what he's putting, downloading into me, his heart for you. I just saw a picture during worship. He wants every single person to cross the finish line. I saw us running with our chest out and the ribbon and passing the ribbon. You know, that's God's heart for us, is that victory to break through the finish line and to finish it strong. To run the race as if to win, not to run the race thinking that we're in lack or tripping or are falling. But we do that, but we get up again and go. We don't look at the trip up. We don't stay there and say, I failed, or stay in failure or regret or hopelessness or those kinds of things. We get up and brush it off, clean it up, and run and keep running. That's Jesus' heart for you. We need to learn how to do that and stand strong in the truth. The truth is, victory's been won. Jesus overcame the world. And so we can stand, and it's a fight, because the enemy doesn't, you know, he wants to fight us. He wants you to not walk in who you are. He's afraid of that. So in the fight, though, There's great strength. So I just want to read to you some of the thoughts that the Lord just spoke into my spirit this week. The enemy is relentless in his efforts to challenge your faith. He is relentless to challenge your faith. If he can get you doubting God, then doubts grow. Negative thoughts grow. If we entertain them, they're like we water them. If we're entertaining you, what you become, what you behold. So if you start believing and entertaining those doubts, then it grows. The same is true for the positive things, for growth, for standing in faith, standing in confidence, standing in forgiveness, standing in truth, standing in peace, standing in love. Those things are also, you have to water them and they grow. So what happens is our flesh fights against that, the good. Our flesh wants to agree with the enemy. So the enemy is relentless in his efforts to challenge our faith. He desires to undermine and cause us to doubt every belief and conviction that we have about God and our identity in him. He desires to sift us. Satan does not want you to walk in the identity of Christ Jesus in you. As a child of God, as the bridegroom of Christ, he doesn't want you to walk in that reality. That doesn't always feel like a reality to us. What feels like a reality is our experiential, our experiences. And what we tend to do is focus on our negative experiences. Those speak very loud to us. They cause hurts in our hearts. They cause us to doubt. They cause us to fear. They change God's truth in us. They change it into negative. It's the enemy wants to go to the opposite. This is the desires of the flesh are never satisfied. Everything that we reach for to fill our hurting hearts will leave us, every carnal thing. We tend to reach for the quick fix. I don't care if it's drugs, if it's TV, if it's sports, if it's chocolate, if it's whatever it is, food, it can... Avoidance, you can like check out, just go in your room, shut the door, and get into a book and stay there, and not so you don't have to think about anything. Though everything that we do, not all those things are bad, but if you do them in order to self-soothe, to check out so that you don't have to think about something, so you can put the Band-Aid over your heart, that's self-medicating. It will leave you dry and empty. It feels good in the moment. Feels good. Even self-pity. Self-pity feels good in the moment. Depression kind of feels good in a way. Now, your logical Christian self knows that that's not, your mature self knows that's not a good way to go. But our flesh is saying that kind of feels good. Feel sorry for myself or get attention of others or, you know, you kind of go there. It will leave you eventually. You're going to be dry and empty. It works for a moment. It's momentary. But when we turn to Jesus and drink and eat of him, we are filled and satisfied, wanting more, but being filled and satisfied at the same time. There's a scripture. I just want to read this scripture to you. When I think of, it's kind of a weird concept for us to think. Jesus talked in several places about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It really messed up the Pharisees. They thought that was very weird thinking and that he was touched in the head, to say the least. But there's purpose, and I've really pondered this a lot. I know what he means, but we want the deeper meaning. When you get scriptures like that, go for the gold. Dig. Get in there and eat the scripture. Go for the gold. Get underneath this, the first thoughts that you have about it and say, oh, yeah, I know what that means, and go on. Start looking up cross-referencing, getting into the original meaning of the words. Go to our modern, you know, just get in there and sit and let God talk to you about it. I want you to... just listen to this this passage, because it explains what God is, what Jesus is saying here. Explains it very clearly what he means. It's in John 6. I would encourage you to look at John 6. The whole chapter talks a lot about Jesus and eating and drinking him. And so it's a good passage to start with. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him." That eating and drinking is abiding. It's soaking, meditating. It's getting into the Word. It's thinking about Jesus. It's praying, talking to. It's all those things. It's abiding in the reality of Christ in you. As you behold him, that identity becomes a reality to you. And you begin to be, you're created in God's image. And when you start to drink and eat Jesus, you become like him. It just is a natural transference of lies for truth. Lies for truth. So when you start, there's a scripture that says, in all that you do, do it as being, your works as being wrought by God, made by God. So you are made by God. You are, so as you let him work in you, fashioning you into the amazing person to his glory that shines with his glory, as you let him do that, as you abide in him, it's an automatic transference that happens, because that's, you're already created in his image, right? So it says, as he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. It's eating. He's our food and he's our drink. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. His flesh was given. He couldn't give his blood without giving his flesh. His flesh, as man, he became our sacrifice. When we start saturating ourselves with the reality of Christ, we become clothed in him, in through and through. Not just here, but here. And when it gets here, it starts coming out of you naturally. You begin to love. You begin to love like you never loved before. You begin to walk in peace like you've never known peace before. In the middle of any storm, you can be in peace. Not that you're not going to feel some things, you know, but they're not going to stay there. They're not going to stick to you. Sometimes I get worked up. I got some 5 grandsons. They're all from 23 to 16, and they're quite the challenge because they're not perfect, and they challenge the Nana to stay in peace sometimes because of what they want to do, and they do, and but their moms and Chris and I stay in peace in their worst mess. In the moment, we might go, oh my goodness, God, really, you know, and look at them and think, you know, this fear wants to well up and all that. And then it doesn't take me very long. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. That's so foreign to me. That's not who I am. I've got the peace of Christ in me. I claim that. And that other stuff has to go. When you do that, you empower that peace. and you empower the atmosphere around you, and those grandkids are gonna get it, and they are. Verse 57 there says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he will also live because of me." I would encourage you to get into communion. I take communion. The Lord convicted me and asked me to do it. So I'm not telling you have to do it. It's a personal thing between you and the Lord. But it's a tool. It's a tool that brings intimacy. So you don't even have to do it every day. I try to do it every day. But I have found that as I take it, every time I take it, I focus on Jesus. I look up scriptures about Jesus. I didn't realize there was so much in there about the sacrifice and the blood and his body. I didn't realize that the word, it's all over the word. It's all about him from beginning to end. And so as I take communion, I have found that that has been a tool for me to saturate myself, to abide in Jesus. A couple months ago, I got so busy, and I seriously, we were traveling, and I was working on a conference and some other things, and I stopped doing it regular, like daily or frequently, and I would only hit and miss. And that went for about 2 months, and then I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw somebody leaving, and as I was waving to them, I found a key in my hand. And I thought, well, I don't even know what that goes to. I'll just toss it. You know, I don't even recognize the key. I don't know what that goes to. And I threw it. And as soon as I did, and I threw it in grass, it was like sod. And as soon as I threw it, I realized that, oh my goodness, I might need that key. I mean, it's a key. For heaven's sakes, it opens something. And so I went and started digging around the sod, and it took me a while, but I found it. And as soon as I woke up, I asked the Lord, what in the world was that? Because he guides through dreams. And as soon as I woke up and I started talking to him about that dream, I realized that it was the key for me was communion, that I had let it go. And it brought me right back around to where I'm doing it again. And it feeds me. It's a tool that helps me stay on the task, on path, you know, and I love it. It's a special, intimate time. So I would encourage you to find something. Ask the Lord to give you something that's unique for you. It doesn't have to be communion, but I encourage you, because it really, you know, do something that will draw you. Ask the Lord to give it to you. Then it'll mean more to you. But ask him to give you a tool to stay on task with him, to get in there and eat and drink him. In the sifting, my daughter saw a vision one time of the church. And Satan came down with a big strainer. Y'all know what that is. It's like you can put your vegetables in it and pour water over it, and the water goes through. Or if you're going to sift flour or whatever. But it has little holes in it. So she saw all of the church. She saw the church in this big sifter, the strainer. And I guess it was a strainer. And Satan went like that. And several people fell through. And others, would spread their arms and legs out, and so they didn't fall through the hole. And then he'd wait a while, and everybody would start feeling real, kind of get lazy and laid back and unsuspecting, and, kind of think everything's going along just fine, and he shook it again, and more people fell through. He'll do that. He wants to sift you personally. In the sifting, there's an amazing transformation that happens for good or for bad. It does. In the sifting, sifting is a trial. And in the trial, it will sift what you really are believing and feeling out. It'll cause it to rise up. The negative stuff is kind of like an infection that will come up and get real out there, and all this can be anger, frustration, fear, whatever is coming out. It's like an infection. In that sifting, there's a transformation, and it is amazing. And it's either for good or for bad. It's going to expose you. It's going to expose the rock solid things in you, and it's going to expose the fleshy things. The sifting tests our flesh. It totally exposes what we really believe, and it will challenge every brick in your house. And it will show you whether you're building on sand or on stone, whether your house is solid or it's shaky. So take advantage of the sifting. When I get a trial, I don't enjoy it. But I, on the other hand, I take the challenge and I'll milk it. I'm like, God, everything that you can squeeze out of me during this trial, and my grandsons are good, but everything you can squeeze out of me in this trial, let's go for it, because I'm not afraid to go there with you. I trust you. That comes from eating and drinking Jesus. That kind of, that trust, being able to trust him in those places. I don't fear that God's going to do something bad to me. He's good. He's my papa. His heart for me is to see me prosper, same as you. He wants to see you finish that line. He wants you to cross that finish line strong. He wants you to, everything that he's put in you, every part of the image of God that's in you, he wants that to shine. He wants you to be strong in him. Let his strength, where we're weak, he is strong. That's what he wants to pull out of you. And that's what the trial, that's why he allows the sifting. God allows it for our good, because he's merciful. Because when the harder things come, that sifting, if we allow it, makes us stronger. We get stronger and stronger, less fearful of the enemy. We get more wise to his ways. We know how to stand in our healing. We know how to stand in our peace. We know how to keep our faith going and growing it in the middle of a trial. Those things should become second nature to us. That sifting and shaking, that's what it's meant for. God allowed Job to be tested. He allowed Job to be sifted. Job was the most righteous man in all the world. The Bible, Father God said that in the scripture. Job is the most righteous man in all the world. And Satan wanted to sift him, and God gave permission. At the end of that, God seriously blessed him. 7 times more than what he had before. Everything was restored to him. Because he held firm. Got a little shaky. But he held his conviction of God and loved God in spite of. So let Jesus in you. Become your reality. Jesus in you wants to become your, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he wants to be your reality. When we have sifting, when we have trials, and we get shook, we look at that as experiential truth. That the enemy wants to tell us that's our truth. God doesn't love you. He's letting bad things happen to you. He's, you know, where's your good God now? You know, where's Papa now? Those kind, he's a mocker and he's a liar. In that place, he wants to shake your faith. He wants to defile the image of God in you. He wants you to get real fleshy, scared, fearful. He wants to take back everything that Jesus paid for on the cross, and so that you can be in victory. So I just want to encourage you to stand in truth. Is God in you? Is your hope of glory? God in you is peace. He is love. He is confidence. He's wisdom. He's merciful. Get in there and look at the character of Father and see what he's put in you. You have full-blown Holy Spirit with all the attributes of God in you. And you're created in his image. You have that ability to look just like Jesus. So let it grow. Jason, if you'd like to come up, and we're going to have a, I just feel like the Lord wants breakthrough for you. I feel like some of you might be afraid to face your future. Like you've tripped up so many times in the past that your future looks like, you know, I don't know. I want to. You have the want to, but you don't have the confidence that you can. You don't have the I can. I feel like the Lord wants to give you the I can tonight. He's got healing. There's physical healing that he wants to do. There's some emotional healing. I just sense that God wants. I think some of you are having trouble believing that victory is yours, that you can stand in it, because we stand and things promised to us we don't see. We get weary. Especially if you get a lot of prophetic words, you hear Father's heart for you, and those things are exciting, and he wants you to be encouraged to move forward, but then we don't ever see the or sometimes it seems like we don't see the words promised, the more future things. There's purpose in that even. God wants you to seek him and over that. And he's cleaning you up, building you up, positioning so that when you get to that promise, that prophetic promise over your life, you're safe. You won't walk in your calling over your calling to be a bride of Christ, that will mean more to you, and you'll be safe in what you're called to do. Does that make sense? God is wise Father. It doesn't always feel like wisdom to us, because we want it now. We want to walk in all of that stuff right now. But the reality is, if he gave us what his dreams are for us right now, a lot of us would get caught up in the dream and lose our intimacy with the Lord. And that is the number one reason we're created for. And he's going to protect that. And in that, he's protecting us. So when we're ready, he'll let us loose. But I want to encourage you in the moving forward. I just feel like the Lord wants to give you a boost. He wants to give you a big I can, and that God and I are like, the enemy cannot take you down. He cannot. With Jesus at your side, Holy Spirit inside of you, the enemy can't defeat you unless you let him. So we need to learn how to stand. So I just want to encourage you, even in that weakness. Sometimes we get tired of standing. Sometimes we feel like we're weak. We've done all we know to do. We don't know what else to do. And it gets frustrating. Those frustrations, I feel like the Lord wants to release those tonight. He wants to, I also feel like he wants to bring clarity to of thought. I see some confusion. The Lord wants to clear up some confusion, you know, how to think about things. I just feel clarity coming. So I heard this a couple days ago, and I know that this will turn into a seminar or something. I'm not sure. I heard 7 steps to freedom, and I'd encourage you to write these down. If you have, this will give you good study material. 7 steps to freedom. I'm just going to make this quick, and then we're going to start praying and just blessing you. I so want to see you move forward. My heart is that you guys, everyone in here runs with freedom. You run hard and you run straight and with confidence. Everybody ready? Number one, secure your gates. You have eye gate, ear gates, a mouth. You have feeling, touch. Look at all your gates, the 5 senses, and your spirit, and secure them. Everything that goes into them should be pure and holy. If you've let things in through those, like pornography or violence, or if you've put things in your mouth that you shouldn't, if you've used touch in a wrong way, you can get rid of what's come in. You take authority, you confess it, you take authority over it, you command it to go. It has to go. You break all agreements with it. It has to go. All right? So secure your gates and keep them secure. Number 2, learn and obey the voice of God, the voice of the Lord. Learn to hear it and obey it. Jesus said, I only do what I hear the voice saying. Even Jesus followed the voice of Papa. Need to learn to hear it. If you don't know how to hear it, get with somebody who does and let them teach you how to hear, how to help you discern. Number 3, practice the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverential trust. It hates what God hates, and it demands obedience. You practice the fear of the Lord. Number 4, eat and drink the flesh and blood of Jesus. It's abiding in Christ. That's what that means. Abide in Christ Jesus. Be transformed into his likeness. Number 5, renew your mind. Mind renewal. The Lord tells us to renew our mind. That's taking a hold of every hurt, every negative thinking, every wrong belief, and giving it to the Lord for truth, exchanging lies for truth. Number 6, know the scriptures. Know them, not with head knowledge, not just head knowledge. Head knowledge is good, and we need that. The scriptures are living. They need to become heart knowledge to you. The word is alive. It's living. Let it live in you. Read it with the expectation of life coming out of it. Number 7, know love above all. Know love. Let God love on you. Know love. Whatever it takes, know love. Know it, not just head, heart. Heart to heart transfusion with the living God. Know love. I just want to, if you want breakthrough in a certain area, I want to invite you to come forward. If there's something you feel holding you back going into the new year, I want you to come forward. If you are hesitant about your where you're at with the Lord, if you're not sure how to move forward, come on forward. You guys, just come on. We're not going to have any singing. We're just going to do instrumental. I want people to be able to hear what they're speaking over, you know, what you're praying. If you have physical, let's hold off on the physical a little bit. I don't want to get too come all the way forward. Well, okay, that's not quite what I meant, but that's good. Okay, Lord must have something. I meant for her to come up for. No, but that's, you guys are good. Stay here. I'm liking it. I want the healing team to come forward. And any pastors in the room. And if you have something emotional, I want you to get on this side. If you have something spiritual, I want you to get on this side. Going to kind of separate a little bit. If it's both, stay right here. Stay right here. Okay, so emotional, both, and spiritual. All right. Okay, so Steve, could you and Lorna work with the this group here? And you come up and help here. Chris, could you work with emotional? Steve and Barb here. Okay. Actually, Barb, could you help? Yeah, Steve and Lorna, there's quite a few over there. Gail, you can help over here too.